Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy grace, Thy kindness to us. Thou hast taken note of our need, and Thou hast seen our shortcomings, Thou hast understandest our weaknesses, and Thou hast provided for us, forgiving us our sin, cleansing us from all unrighteousness, and drawing us closer to Thyself. We thank Thee for it. We pray now as we study that Thou wilt be gracious to help us to understand and to grow. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. In the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 26, verses 26 to 30, we have a very important section which tells us about what we call the institution of the Lord's Supper. Everyone who has been in and around a Christian congregation knows that every now and again we have a ceremony that we call the Lord's Supper. It's called a sacrament, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And it's an understanding amongst us that it would be a good thing as a Christian to remember the death of the Lord every so often in this ceremony, which we call the Lord's Supper, or the communion of the Lord's table. It would be a good thing, perhaps, for us to take note for a moment as to why that should be. We should remember. Why is that so important? Because we forget. And why do we forget? Because we're human. We don't forget because we mean to. It's just natural. We just seem to forget things. It just happens naturally. Our hair grows out and we cut it off. Our fingernails grow out and we cut them off. And it seems as if in our hearts things grow out and there's a danger of them being cut off. And if we don't want things to grow out, and we don't want things to dim out, we renew them by remembering. When we remember, we call them back into mind. We experience them again for the next day. This is a very common thing. Take, for instance, such a relationship as friendship. Friendship is a wonderful thing. But, you know, we help our friendship out. We keep letters that our friends write. We keep little gifts that our friends give to us. We keep pictures, especially, of friends. You have them hanging on the wall. You have them on the dresser top. You have them in your billfold. You carry them in your purse. You have them in your pocket. You carry these pictures. You wear a ring. It's a reminder of something. You have a locket. It's a reminder of something. Or perhaps you have something in the kitchen that was given to you by a friend. Or maybe you have something in the living room given to you by a friend. These memorials, they're far more important to us than the particular thing for whatever it is. Someone will give you a fountain pen, and that fountain pen means far more to you than just something to write with, and so on. Now, these memorials, these little objects of memory, are useful to us because of the way we are. We're such creatures that for us to really think something, it's better when we do something. It's just helpful. Now, you might, for instance, be able to remember very vividly your friend, and you remember your friend very, very vividly, but I can tell you right now a better thing than that. Call them up on the telephone and talk to them. You may possibly have a friend that you realize is one of the best friends you've got, and you appreciate that friend very, very much. Let me tell you something. You should go see them. You should have them at your home. Sit down, eat together. These things strengthen and they maintain and they revive memories that go into our personal relationships. Now, Almighty God has dealt with us creatures. He knows us. He has dealt with us all the way through Scripture by setting before us certain memorials. There were such a thing as putting up an altar as a memorial. And there were certain days we were to keep as a memorial. As a matter of fact, the Sabbath day, Sunday, should be a memorial. And so we have other things that we do. Actually, when we give to the Lord's work, especially if it's a specified amount, we give a certain amount to the Lord's work. That's also given as a memorial. Every single thing we do is just helpful. Now, this is probably enough to give us a background for this very simple ceremony that we have set out in chapter 26 of Matthew, verses 26 to 30. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Just as simple as that. Now consider for a moment bread. It's a symbol of all food. And what's important about food? Our bodies need it. Why? In order to live. Because if we do not take food in, our bodies will die. The Lord Jesus says, "This is my body. This is my flesh. Take, eat." The individual is to take this bread and eat it. Now, if you stop to think about it, when the person reaches out on the tray and takes part of that bread and puts it into his mouth and eats it, his whole consciousness is being reminded of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ made himself available and is to be personally received. You see, when you get bread into your mouth and you chew it in your mouth, you swallow it down your throat, it belongs to you. And that's the way the gospel means you to have the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for you. His blood was shed for you. He was raised from the dead for you. He now appears in the presence of God for you. You're to understand this is for you, just the way the bread you eat and swallow is for you. This is God's way of teaching us. In our day and time, even right now while I'm living, you might say, there is around me a great emphasis on the part of many people to pay attention to what the church will do. And the church is spoken of as one big unit. The church does this and the church does that. Sometimes we're more specific and we name our own denomination and we think of it in that way. Now, our own denomination is a very real thing and it has its function to perform. And the church as a whole is a very real thing as the body of Christ, and it has its function to perform. But the whole business starts in the individual human heart. The Lord Jesus Christ came as a man, not as a church, not as a society. He came as a man, and he died as a man, one man, died for one man. It wasn't that he set himself up as an organization, as a church, and when that church collapsed, then he died. That wasn't it. Or that he set himself up as a whole group of people in a certain age, in a certain kingdom, a certain nation. This is he. And then when that nation died or was defeated or was destroyed, then the Lord was lost and had been and suffered death. That's not it. He came in body as a man, not part of a man, not just his hand, not just his head, not just his heart. Not just part of the man, the whole man, but one man, just one man. And this one man died on Calvary. I'm putting it that way because you're just one person. But your one person was bought and paid for by the one man who died on Calvary. And the one person on Calvary was for you, the one sinner who is to receive him. And you're to receive him just the way you eat bread. You're to reach out there. There may be 10 other people present. There may be 100 other people present. You may be in a big church where there are hundreds, even up to 1,000 people present. And they're all partaking of the Lord's Supper. It doesn't help you. If you're one of those 1,000 and 999 partook of the Lord's Supper and you didn't take of it, you wouldn't have it. Take, eat. You, individually, are to do this. That's the way it is with the Lord. You're to believe in him. He's for you. And when you know he's for you, you will have it. Just like when you swallow that bread, it's yours. And the same is true with the cup. He took the cup and gave thanks and gave to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." You see the point? Drink ye all of it. Each individual person. "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Of course, it's for all people. and all who receive him will be blessed. But the way you receive him is one at a time. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, and that until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Promises things about the future and about his Father's kingdom. Then, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. That's the whole story. That's the whole setup. Now let's come back to this again about the blood. You see, the blood is for the remission of sins. Christ Jesus died on Calvary's cross for the remission of sins. I am to receive it. I am to take it for myself, and it will certainly function in me. It's by participation, by my entering in and sharing with these things, that I receive the blessing. And so we have this set up with reference to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And when you sit down to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, you're going to remember that his body was broken for you. And that, by the way, will qualify you for it, as Paul would point out. You'll never be qualified by being perfectly good. You're not. You're not going to be. You will not qualify because you will never do anything wrong again. That's not the promise that you make. That wouldn't be realistic. What you do have in mind is that he died for you. That you do have in mind. And when you partake of that bread, you take it into your mouth and swallow it, you are before God, before the angels in heaven, before your own soul, before everybody, anybody, you are openly exercising yourself about this, that you're receiving the will of the Lord Jesus Christ into your own heart and soul. You are taking Christ in as part of you. So much for the bread, and the same is true with the cup. You receive it because his death was for you, that you might be spared. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to us when we partake of the Lord's Supper, that we may sense this personal relationship with him and appreciate the fact that he died for us, offered himself to be broken for us, that we might have the favor of God through him. And we thank thee for the forgiveness of sins which we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.